Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome, my beloved light family. I am so happy to have you with us again today. It's always nice to spend this hour with you. And we have here with us, he's volunteered, I think, to do this show with us again. I'm very grateful. It's always a little easier for me that way. Rohir, thank you very, very much, in fact. It's the day, you know, that we're pre-recording is the day before Thanksgiving, actually, so people have some sort of an idea. We do these pre-records because I travel a lot, and also I have classes that last for 5 days at a time, so it's not always possible for me to get to phones. And being the day before Thanksgiving, it's a little on the hectic side. Rohir, thank you very much for joining us. What would you like to ask this morning?
Okay, well, first of all, you are very welcome, and well, what I would like to ask is really pursue at least one of the topics that we discussed on, I think, the previous show, and that was about the Ashanta serpents. And on the previous show, you spoke of them in terms of stewardship of the earth, but that was only a few, and then you spoke of good ones and bad ones. But if I remember correctly, yesterday in passing, after the radio, you said something about these serpents, something you had uncovered, yet I've completely failed to register it. So first of all, I was wondering what that was.
Okay. You know, yesterday is about a year away, but let me just tell you folks about the Ashantas, because to tell you the truth, I really don't even remember what I said yesterday, but the Ashantas are very fascinating. We had met one, and this Ashanta was the one who started the Order of the Serpents. And if you go, now let me just think really, really quickly. I believe that it is on ancientshamanism.com. If it isn't, then it would be on wayofthetoltecnagual.com. Actually, I think it's wayofthetoltecnagual.com. If you go to that website, which I know she's just finishing up, so by the time this airs, it should be up. But you will see a photograph of serpent bites. In this instance, I think it's on the hand of the master, Roman. And the masters in Toronto had big, you know, this ordinary size serpent bites, but they saw little snakes coming out of the mouth of a big snake. And the Toltecs, for a long time, have been working with serpent, the plumed serpent. This particular serpent that was the first of its kind that I encountered was a plumed serpent. He was a red serpent. Afterwards, I encountered a female white serpent, and then they merged into one. But I went to Toronto, and I started getting emails from the masters there. We all knew that it was time to begin the Sacred Order of the Serpent, which is, you know, we've been speaking a lot about the rose and its layers of petals. This is one of the three center petals. It's very key to the development of bodies of incorruptible white powers and magic that are coming back as the birthright of humankind. So we knew it was coming. This is 2 Octobers ago. That would make it October of 2007. And what happened is that all of a sudden the masters in the Toronto group started to have serpent bites. Some got bitten in the back of the neck. Some felt the serpent plainly in their bed. And, you know, there were actual physical evidence. I went to Toronto to establish this pursuant to the Infinite's instruction. And as I came into my hotel room, closed the door, sat down just to get a bit of rest, you know, after traveling all day, a serpent bit me in the heel. It was my left heel. and left two serpent marks. While, you know, clearly it, I could feel the venom pump into the heel, it was an initiation. You can see the photograph of that on the Nagual website. This was the first time that I, not mine, but the Master Roman's, this was the first time that we had the initiation of the serpent. And so I knew there were massive big serpents available. I speak the language of that serpent was different than the current languages that we are encountering. I'll speak the language of that serpent if you want to. Shall I do that real quickly?
Please.
So people can hear. It's so fascinating. And you know what's helpful, Rogier? In the Isis book, the 12 planetary bodies that are around the planet are Hompi and Top and things like that. And we never encountered a language like that. It was given by the Jungalabruk, and that simply wasn't Jungalabruk language. And then later, when the serpent came out, then we understood it's in the serpent language. For some reason, the serpent language is the ones that they used for those planets. So maybe they were master astrologers or something like that. They certainly built the serpent mounds that you find in North America in conjunction with stars. So it would lead us to believe that that's the case. It sounds like this. That's what it sounds like. That's unusual, isn't it? I didn't
Yeah, you can
anything
feel
close
something.
To that.
Yeah,
you can.
Well, I remember maybe half a year ago when you spoke, and I remember the people present, myself included, could sort of feel. Well, I'm not sure what, but it seems some kind of electric, tingling kind of reaction.
That is interesting, because I would also describe it as very electrical, because of course they work with the cold fire, with the Kundalini. And with that, they worked with the ancient Toltec seers, because they worked with the Kundalini, immortality magic, how, you know, the, using the spine as for immortality. And that is on that Toltec Nagual website that we have. And anytime folks can just go to our home site, and it leads you right to all our other websites, which, you know, you hear in the advertisements our address for that. But let's continue.
I was actually to have a, before you please hold that thought, but I just had a stray thought, because I remember this book about, called The Serpents of Wisdom, and I think that the word Naga was featured frequently in there as well, but does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. I'm surprised somebody uncovered that. That's very, very good of them. Yeah, it's the Naga came from, Naga is simply the word wisdom giver, and it comes from the Mayan, the Lemurian language. In Egypt, it became a Nakal, N-A-C-A-A-L, and in some of the African languages, it actually became Nakwa, and later it became Namakwa, and we have it all the way down to the southern tip of Africa, the stories of the Nakwa or the Namakwa. It's very prevalent in two places, South Africa and Ethiopia. South Africa has a very beautiful sacred city that stands in Namakwaland, Namakwa. But it was Nagual in Southern America. And they worked very closely with serpent magic. And in ancient times, there also was a symbolical, you know, things were external then, and it was during the fall, so it was not the spirit serpents that we had the initiations from up in Toronto, but there was actually something to do with the Apaches. And the Apaches brought the plumed serpent traditions from what they call the Redland. And I once had a prophecy that came through my mouth for the group of apprentices that I was training, and that we would be receiving from an ancient Apache spirit a ball of sod, like a clod that's going to be almost petrified at this point of red sand. It would be from Atlantis. And lo and behold, it materialized in our pot. So we had that for a long time. I actually don't have it anymore. I gave it to Professor Bell, not Professor, but Dr. Bell, Art Bell. So anyway, to continue, they do the plumed serpent dance. And it's very ancient. I don't know if the modern tribes do it. I just know it's part of their ancient traditions. It came from Atlantis. It was the knowledge of the Nagua that went, the Naga that went there from Lemuria. And they came there as the Tlavati. Tlavati was a specific subgroup in the Atlantean culture, like a caste, if you will, because they always only married themselves and always reincarnated into the same group. But they were the Naguals. Tlavati brought the Toltec Nagual teachings to Atlantis. From Atlantis, it came with the Apache to Northern America.
Okay, now I thought that the, wasn't the plumed serpent, I thought that was like the Quetzalcoatl Thoth connection, but I could have been wrong.
The issues around Thoth are multiple. If you take a look at the ancient traditions of the Father, and where people can find it, hallelujah, it's finally up, is on the electronic download that's now available after a year of very intense work. The information in it is very intricate. It reveals how creation is made from the infinite being, as well as the magic of the Father and the Lemurian temples that housed it. So the book Windows into Eternity, folks can now buy. It's electronic because it's also at the printer, but because it's Christmas, the printer won't get it to us till early 2009. But they can get it right now off of the website. And in there, the sacred order of the white dove is discussed. And you'll see the beak of the dove is what is called a Sothic triangle. It's an elongated triangle. Thoth used the exact methodology, but with corruption. And he often tapped into the very ancient sacred traditions, but he could not access all of it because Thoth had misled many, many people, and the information on that is firmly established by the history keepers of what he has done to try and control the earth over the ages. The Infinite has explained that to me herself, because I worked with the mother for many, many years during the dream. And also, it is in the records of Isis, which is opening the doors of heaven, that Thoth became corrupted. He would take sacred traditions, he would tap into them, and he would corrupt them if they held any power at all, A, to draw from it, and B, to make sure that it didn't end up in its pure form, because it would empower the very beings on earth that he wanted to control. So that he would tap into the plumed serpent as one of his, you know, grandiose gestures, I have no doubt. And I want to be the first to say that I was duped by Thoth, whom I worked hand in hand with for many years, as he pretended to be the good guy, but he was split. And the part that I saw was very erratic, but it was, you know, functioning as though it were a good guy. Right the level above where I could normally see hid the other part of him that orchestrated the one below like a puppet. So, you know, he's been the symbol for me for splitness, and he did it on purpose to gain control.
Okay, so effectively you're saying, for example, that what we've come to know as ancient Egypt is really a kind of corrupted form, and here I mean the symbolism and the hieroglyphs and such of what was originally the Father magic.
I don't know about the ancient part of it, how corrupted it became and where it became corrupted and when it became corrupted. It used to be known right before the last Atlantis sinking, which was 9,564 years before the crucifixion date was set for Christ. And, you know, so before that, it was known as the land of Chem. And so K-H-E-M. Thoth was already ruling Atlantis before that Atlantis sank. He was ousted out of Egypt by his brother Marduk, whom we know as Ra. They later pronounced themselves gods. They were both incredibly corrupted. Thoth was definitely the worst of the two. And the reason was because Ra was small fry compared to what he was. Thoth was one of the archdemons of the cosmos. You know, I know that this is not pleasant for a lot of people to hear. I've cried many tears over it because I worked with him hand in hand for years. But the point is, you know, it doesn't help us to hold on to old truths in the face of irrefutable evidence coming forth from multiple kingdoms of his schemes. So let's just go back a little bit. The Hathor temple is not at all corrupted in Egypt. The Isis temple isn't corrupted in Egypt. And there's another one. And I'm so sorry, I don't know what it is. I'm seeing it. It has hippos associated with it. But I don't know what it is. I'm not getting the name, I'm just getting the images. So those three are not corrupted. So let's go back to the Ashanta. What good Ashantas have been doing is as follows. They were in stasis in the Serpent Mound. I believe that they placed themselves there after building the sacred libraries of the Serpent Mound, which the mound itself pointed its head to Nazca Peru, because it was connected with Nazca Peru. When the Serpent Mound opened, the flower and the baby condor libraries in southern Peru opened. When they opened, the eagle libraries in Chaco Canyon opened. It was like a triad. And that's what fulfilled the prophecy that, you know, people are giving all sorts of interpretations for it, just, you know, whatever is you're talking about in terms of a different tribe's elders. They give a slightly different interpretation. But the eagle and the condor flew together when a tunnel that went through the crust of the earth opened. And that happened in May of 2008. And when it opened, it's because the condor, the baby condor libraries in Nazca Peru, opened the eagle libraries in Chaco Canyon. Now, I'm sure that there are other symbolism. I'm not saying all the elders are wrong, so I don't know what they're saying. I don't have much time to pay much attention to anything other than the streams of information that come through each day. But, you know, you can absolutely expect that there will be symbolisms of native tribes speaking to each other and elders coming and exchanging things. And I mean, you absolutely can expect that to happen. There usually are symbols all around us in the world when massive events happen, but that's the massive event. Oh my gosh, I've gotten so talkative this morning. We've got our commercial break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back with us. And Rohirsha, I didn't actually answer too fully about the tasks of the Ashanta, did I?
No, but I think when you answer that, if you could sort of weave in this a live question that came in through Twitter while you were talking about 6 minutes ago. It's from the Master Jennifer, and she asks about the Ashanta serpents, the following: will they become embodied in human form, any, all, or some, and if so, what is their human function?
There has been a special provision made for nine, to embody in human form. And the others will not be embodying in human form. And here's why. The nine that we spoke about on previous shows as having been those who stood behind the governments of the earth and sort of were pulling the strings for a very, very long time, and that they really were Ashanta serpents, because they did in all integrity during the ages try and keep their contract with the mother, even though they forgot to a large extent what it was, they were committed to incarnate again and to create good for man to the extent that they created bondage. And so nine of them have incarnated. I know of one or two of them where they are. I know there's two in Brazil. I think, I know the name of one of them. But the point is there's some in Australia, some in the United States. But what these people has to specially be designed. And Mother did this very specially because of who they were. The serpent that Jennifer is referring to has, taken a very great affinity to her, but it's not one that will be embodying. The reason is that species cannot embody into human grids, we don't really have grids, but we have human archetypes. The interspecies with man, the interspecies inbreeding or incarnating is not permitted to happen because of man's very, very unique position as in the past the archetype and way shower, and in the future as the pure genetic library of all species DNA codes. So you can't make hybrid races with humans. I know that the Anunnaki did, but the Anunnaki for the most part are human. But when you start getting really seriously different species like Ashanta, when they incarnate like these nine did, they need a special little bubble so that their serpent origins doesn't actually pollute humankind. And so you can see that that cannot be done, frequently. So the answer in that case is no.
But that's the only... it's that simple then to make... an exception to what otherwise seems to be a very stringent prohibition, i.e. can't really incarnate in human grids, and yet these nine can.
And the reason is that the nine can perform, you know, the nine that can performed their deeds as humans. They masqueraded as humans. They did a lot of, you know, over here you're speaking to me, but I can feel something there is about to change. And I
well,
need
do
to
you have
to,
a message? Or
well, what I'd like to do is that one, because Mother may not want it known. I don't know. I will ask her in our next body break what it is, because what I'm about to say is not going to be correct for more than a few minutes. So
okay, I was
at
actually
the moment,
thinking,
that's the highest
I was
truth.
Thinking later we could do a recording of it and then put it on the blog, perhaps.
Yes, we can. We started that yesterday, and I like it when Mother comes through to speak to record it for the people. That would be wonderful.
Okay, but please continue, because about these nine, then?
Well, the nine have set aside rather large funds for themselves. And the contract is that they must do good with those funds, that the wealth is to be redistributed through them where it was exclusively, you know, sort of gathered by them before. So
but
if they keep
said,
that...
Hadn't you said that they were... Weren't they part of the upper echelons that had been removed already, as in sort of wiped out?
Yes, but remember I said that there were the very top ones were I found in the spirit world, or did I forget to say that?
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure what good funds would do you there, but...
They amassed such large amounts of resources, it's unreal. It's beyond what we can imagine.
But, I mean, wouldn't that only be of use when you're kind of incarnated?
Yes, it would. So they've come back to redistribute these funds.
Okay, because you said that unlike the lower echelons, they didn't lose their individuation because they did.
No, they didn't.
Try to keep to the contract. All right.
Yes, that's correct. And so, you know, the when the Ashanta serpents came out of the serpent mound, the first task they did was to get rid of density. And there were a lot of, like, soulless bodies on Earth at the time, and they started immediately to clean those up. And, you know, I don't know what basis they used to say these can be cleaned up and those can't, but they cleaned up anywhere they could find density like that. That just looks like a person, but it isn't. It's like they swallowed it. They came to the oracles. They told them that's what they were doing. Then the other thing that they did is they went after the two serpents that I think I mentioned last week on the show or the week before. There was a young Ashanta in South Africa, and there was a very old one in China that were very hostile to life. They cleaned those up. There was one down in the Amazon that was very hostile to life. That was working in conjunction with a Native American tribe down there, deep, deep, deep in the jungles, in somewhere, you know, in up the Amazon. But they cleaned him up as well. The other thing that they're doing is they're working on redistributing wealth for Mother, and that was only done 2 days ago.
So what makes these Ashantas then kind of like the chosen ones to do this? Earth management.
It's been uncorrupted. They're not corrupted. And they're totally dedicated. That language, you know, you were speaking about how you feel the electrical current from it, it focuses attention. The one thing I found with them is when they're focused, boy, there's nothing that takes them off track. And that is one of the reasons, I'm sure, that Mother chose them to, like, hold the space for humanity as she went deep into forgetfulness, into the fall.
Okay, but you seem to also imply that they're still going to be doing comparable things, although it would seem that their task presupposed that we were in a fall and in a descension, but yet now you're saying that even in ascension, when things are a lot different, they still have this role?
Are you talking about the nine?
Yes.
No, the nine have a chance to clear up their karma. That's all.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm just wondering if there's anything else about these serpents that you should mention. I don't know if the
Other than the fact that they actually come out of the serpent planets, which is the Pleiades. There's a planet in the tail of the serpent, and they come out of that from that planet. That's called the Ashanta planet, and it was a planet we couldn't see, and it should now be visible to telescopes because it's become lit up. Assuming, you know, that the hologram that's our space permits that. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll see what next you have on your plate when we get back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. And right now we're heading into our second half of the show. And Rohir, what do you want to go from here? Any other direction, or you want deeper information? What would you like?
You were saying you were receiving something before the show, some information, or I'm not exactly sure what you're referring to, but I am curious.
Yes, right before the show began, I've been hearing something about a drum since yesterday. And now, suddenly, it's starting to make sense. It was the Infinite's declaration to indigenous people. And I've only translated half of it. But here's what I have. Make now this day a magical drum. Let indigenous people know I have come. Their prophecies fulfilled as foretold long ago. Through visions and dreams, let them know. An Indian child shall show the way. On a drum she has made, the call she shall play. Humility, I ask, forget what has been. Now is the time to end the dream. I'll gather my children, the ones of the earth, to hear my voice, they'll be the first. A little drum made by a child, to hear with the heart, to open the eyes. Indigenous peoples shall flourish again. So the desert shall blossom from rain, providing habitat for animal and man. No more barrenness upon the land. This is what I have so far. I mean, other than that, I can give it to you just in mother's language in sort of rough translation. Let me just see here. Ishkayehta nishva, bisma ukietanash. Let my children hear me. Let them forget what they thought would be. Kishkayekich namasu, for the young men and the children. kyokushikine chiatai sava, my face shall see. Nukpa kieshkai, erkie inash, asva kiehta, inapiaku anash. The wisdom of the elders shall come to naught, for the prophecies fulfilled shall not be as they thought. Kyachu uhiha, inesherte sabash, ispa kuyeh, ikiata inevikir. Inasmuch as they, I'm just going to try and do it less formally and just paraphrase it, inasmuch as they in humility accept what they are given, so shall they flourish, and all around them life shall also. When indigenous peoples are suppressed, the earth itself cannot rest. Piakuchi ahye hyaku na aye esebeche kava achi anachva usat piki uhye ishvakna. It is time for me to appear in their midst. And it shall happen to multiple tribes. The North American Indians shall be first. Tiakune kikaya ishvista ba ukneve. The indigenous peoples of Australia already have come forth. Now it is time for the indigenous people of the north. Pechi uha ye a ine ika hachi asvach basu. Small pockets there are in South America too. Those who have seen me, those who know that I am here, picha uchna kihva ushva, that sacred rain upon earth again comes. Nekuna achachba serech keve, a few there are who have seen the light of the one. Pa uche te ina avachech masku ijivi pachvakye u anacha. Eshach saisa, Africa must be next, or it shall wither and die. Long have I heard the suffering children's cries. Oh my goodness, that feels intense. Little children in pain. Special children, mother says. Piapucha minete, I have sent among them. But they have not been accepted. They have been killed by men. They have called them witches. They have condemned them thus. Tiavuch kiechna ashvasta penesh. And thus from their midst the holy children have been taken away. Pahuyich kanach eshvestava, hardened the hearts of many adults. New leadership must come. Only the children could hear the voice of the one. Steeped in care of survival, they thought, Ishbach kaye ashta inede uchbak ye. The grown-ups could not hear me, nor could they see my face. Let me just say this here. Sorry?
No, please go on.
Mother is saying that it is crucial that knowledge of her comes to Africa. If it does not, great, great distress shall be caused beyond what is already there. Thus it begins this day in North America. And Tiashuchtach Meshpe, a flute shall be played by the Holy Child. Kuchnavashkaye, it shall be heard. Mikuchianatasa peshke eve, by tribes that live in the wild. Yochtonech Meshke, untainted by men, their hearts are still pure. The flute she shall play, those tribes shall hear. Awaken it shall within their minds. Memory of mother shall spread through their kind. Echkiach kunash, vespa inashvavi, hekiech katai, unash hasa evechpavi. In times when polarity separated has been, a pulsation between the Americas and Africa was seen. North America to the South did pulse as one. South America to North Africa the same has done. Tiaku chiha yeki anash, thus first they awaken, first they must know, then my visions in Africa I'll show. Dehpakie anash vaska, the oracles that in your classes are. Kiakushia shutuyeme shkavash kavaye aki a una aye, shall take photos of my light and it shall be broadcast far. I believe she means over the websites that we have put up with those photos. But it shall increase, more they will know, that all the glory of the other realms will be shown. Pyakuchaya erki kai nishpas kaba, the more that can see, the more that can dream. Kyakuchi kishkia shall usher in the reign of the heavenly queen. Pakuneshtia skava ishvaskaye cha unava ba, my holy cities also their light shall show. Tikine ichia avikyokoyene kaya cha te ene, that all the truth of these words shall know. Let's take a quick commercial break, please.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almeen experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. And so, Ruhir, we've got about 12 minutes left, maybe 10. What would you like to answer in those few minutes?
Well, I do have this burning question about Africa because, you know, coming to think of it, I do wonder what is Africa's problem. I mean, I don't want to generalize here because there is, like, the greatest beauty in Africa as well, but there is also so much darkness still, and I know there's, you know, suffering elsewhere in the world, but it, with Africa, it seems like parts of it are really in this kind of force field, you know, and I really wonder what it is. And when I was sort of looking at that question, I also remembered that there have been people, like, for example, Zulu shamans and others who have said that the state of Africa is no accident and that it was systematically murdered. But if you know, if that was the case, something like that couldn't really be done without the assistance from the Earth management team. So I really, those are kind of my questions about how, what's going on with Africa and how did it ever get there?
Well, some of it is yes and some of it is no. The bottom line of it is that I know that things have been done there, but it's, you know, you mentioned on our last show that it's not stuff I usually speak about, and the simple reason is if it's the day for it to be gone, it's gone. And so what is the point of speaking about it? However, I will, you know, there is some nice understanding of the progress we're making. So about a month ago, is it a month? No, it's about a week. See, we live a month every week. But anyway, it's about a week ago that I was in my dream state in the night. I saw a vision, and I saw an explosion happen in this underground facility. And there were vials and vials of what looked like some sort of, you know, stuff in it. I don't even know what it was. I mean, it was clear substance. There were glass vials everywhere. And when the explosion happened, the explosion came all the way through the top of the ground. So it came on top of the surface of the earth. And it shot out pieces of glass and everything from this massive explosion. And I saw in my vision how cattle and people and everything in its vicinity just, they died a horrible death. And I came out of this vision fully awake and sat up and said, "Mother, what is going on?" And she said, "There is this facility that is, it looks to me just north of the Zambezi River, which would have, you know, which put us where? In Zimbabwe. And it would, that there's an underground facility there. And I'm seeing, you know, when I saw the people in there, they were Americans, but they were from other nations, the Russians, English-speaking people with the accent from England. They were there as well. There were Germans in there. So there was this facility underground that developed some sort of a germ. It was not chemical. It was germ warfare. And it is possible, you know, I don't know if they in any way have unleashed some of it amongst the African people. It seems silly that they would, because it would alert people to where the origins are. But what was coming was an explosion that would have accidentally broadcast this deadly germ across portions of Africa in a cloud or something. So what Mother did is she totally, totally dissolved all the germs in there and collapsed the facility. And it's not the first time she did it. There was a massive one under Syria that she collapsed in 05, I believe it was. Very, very long one, actually. It went very far. I kept you know, what Mother sent me to do things, but I kept thinking this is the end of it, and then it wasn't. But there's also a very large one that was in Africa. So those things are really minimal compared to the bigger problems. Bigger problems is when humankind don't live up to their highest. In the case of Africa, it has to do with the root chakra. If we do not fully and passionately express in our life, then the passion is not in Africa. The land, as we've just seen from this piece that I got from Mother, and some of it translated onto paper here, you know, if groups of people do not flourish, then the land doesn't flourish. In Africa, the Africans were over-polarized into passivity. When the activity comes out, it comes therefore out in a very jagged, hostile, in the case of Africa, very cruel form. I was in Africa earlier this year. I have on my desk downstairs from the Masters Paul and Nipo in South Africa a fax to say, you know, it's not good here. You've got to talk to Mother, but this is not good. But when I was there, there were refugees camps where they were doing ethnic cleansing. It's the Zulus in southern Africa. Refugees camps full of women and children and so on that had to be fed because they couldn't go to work because the Zulus were killing them because they said, you're taking our jobs, because they were coming from other areas. And the cruelty is abysmal. And it is because it was over-polarized into the feminine. You know, Toltecs have always said that, sorry?
I'm just wondering, just sort of hypothetically, but couldn't you turn it around and say, well, to upset the, or to manipulate humanity's root chakra, stuff was done in Africa?
The masses,
much like frequency, technology, mind control, that kind of thing.
Well, yes and no, because nothing breaks mind control quicker than to passionately express emotion. And there has not been a good balance between doingness and beingness, between accomplishment. Because when you're over-polarized into the feminine, you think you cannot properly accomplish, and that's when you start taking and robbing and doing things to other people. But is it just the Africans? No. They're part of it, but it's all of man. Because when we get over-polarized in doingness, then they over-polarize into beingness. And so we've had this over the ages. Now, a lot of this has changed because Mother has ended polarity as a linear back-and-forth movement. However, it still is that if we do not abundantly live, because the root is also the part of abundance, if we do not have abundant passion, abundant living with ourselves, it doesn't matter if we're poor or rich. I have seen enormously wealthy people that are some of the most impoverished people that I know, because they do not fully live. They're hemmed in by their possessions. And then I've seen very wonderfully, fabulously wealthy people. I think of my, you know, some very good friends in England that I've stayed at some of their palaces, and they're from Napoleonic descent, and they fully live. They express artistically. They run their lands with a passion and with beauty and with honor and integrity, and they love whatever they do. And I've seen the same situation with people not doing it. It's time for us to express passionately and to allow our inner child expression and to be abundant with our rest, abundant with our time with loved ones, abundant with that which makes our hearts sing. And as we do that, it will heal Africa.
Okay. And do you know, I'm just wondering how it would all fit in then, because I've heard stories of how not all that long ago, supposedly, Africa was lush with green vegetation, like, say, 2,000 years ago. Do you know anything about that?
You know, if you take a look at 2,000 years ago, magic was alive and well in in an allegorical sense, in that festivals were held, May Day festivals. There was community. People were passionately expressing. They were one with the earth. They were not cut off from their root.
I see. Okay.
And our indigenous peoples, the other thing that's also important that ties in with this is our indigenous peoples were honored and respected in that people left them alone. And I know we had Roman conquering of people, and they certainly came to Britain and all the rest of it, but now there's virtually no indigenous culture that hasn't been in some way or another tampered with.
All right, now...
And we have one quick question left, I think.
Okay, I was just wondering, it's kind of trivial, but you mentioned earlier about the germs and the facilities and how the Infinite Mother had diffused it. But when you were saying that, it kind of seemed to me like a very sort of treating the mirrors kind of way of going about things, because what would this have reflected within her?
It would have reflected that it wasn't yet the day to deal with the source of it. And as you know, that day was last week.
I'm sorry, refresh my memory. Which day was that?
Well, it's the day that she did a purging of those who would do things like that on Earth.
There's a massive purging done
of those behind the throne. And it was time then. And it was time not only on the planet, but it was time cosmically. And so cosmically we saw a massive purging happen of kingdoms and places where other stellar systems and so on are conquered, of arrogant rulers who think they can divide up the cosmos like spoils. We have the same thing on Earth. It was the time. We unfortunately, for us, it has come to the end of our hour, and we'll be again with you next week. Thank you for joining us.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.